What is your life? What is it all about? What makes your life your life? And do you believe that you shall live again? If you do, you know, actually before that can happen, there is something you must believe. And are you ready to take a look at the Scriptures and to see what it is you must believe? Lake just read from the end of John chapter 10. And what we had seen happen in John 10 is that Jesus had so taught that the Pharisees understood Him to be making Himself God. And that was it. They had had it. And so they're ready to kill Him, to arrest Him, and to kill Him. But He got away. He left Jerusalem, crossed over the Jordan River, and went on the east side and stayed there for a while. And then this happened. John 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to Him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom You love is sick." A certain man was terminally ill, and he lived in Bethany on the west side of the Jordan, just about 2 miles from Jerusalem, which meant Jesus is going to have to go back there. And this was also a town, John says, of the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. Now John inserts in there, in verse 2, that this Mary, it sounds like, was well known to his first readers. She was the one that they had heard about. Now picture this. Jesus was in a home, and He's sitting down or reclining to eat. And this woman, now see this with your eye, had come to Jesus and gone to His feet and poured oil on them, and then with her own hair, wiped His feet. It was that Mary whose brother Lazarus was very sick. Do you think that got the attention of Jesus? I know it did. Of course, He would notice anyone, but especially these people in this case. And we're going to see more about what Mary did in chapter 12. Because John will then show us what she did. But that woman who showed such sweet, humble love to the Lord had a brother she loved. And her sister loved him too. And he was very sick with what we don't know. But look at the message the sisters sent to Jesus. "Lord, behold, he whom You love is sick." Now, how could the Lord refuse a message like that? And you know something? They didn't say what they wanted. And I don't think they had to say. Perhaps they couldn't say it. You know, sometimes you can't say all that you need to say. But He knew what He needed to do. He knew what they wanted. So let's see what He did. Verses 4 through 6. When Jesus heard that, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Interesting. Initially, Jesus refused to go to Bethany. He delayed. And right away, he revealed that he knew about the sickness and the purpose for it. Now, the sisters believed the sickness was unto death, and those who heard the message probably thought the same thing. Yet Jesus said that it was not unto death. At least not permanent death. The end of the sickness of Lazarus was not death, but the glory of God. That God might be glorified through the work of the Son of God. So that the sickness of Lazarus would actually cause both God the Father and God the Son to be glorified. Jesus loved all people, but he had a special friendship with these three. Did John write in verse 6 that since Jesus loved these three, he immediately dropped everything and went to his friend and helped him? No. Jesus stayed on the other side of the Jordan an additional 2 days. Now, it took the messenger who probably was sent on the day that Lazarus died, but before he died. It would take him part of a day to get where Jesus was staying. Jesus stayed 2 more days, and then it'll take Jesus part of another day to get back. It'll be 4 days since the message went out. And it will end up being 4 days since Lazarus had died. When that does happen. Why did Jesus delay? Well, when he first heard of the sickness of Lazarus, he indicated why. You know, that it was for the glory of God, but would not dropping everything right there on the spot and running to his friend be a way to show love? And would that not glorify God? What was Jesus doing? What was so important that he was doing that he couldn't run to help his friend whom he loved? He was teaching and preaching. And those things are greater than all the other things we do on the earth. And not only that, but he waited on purpose because by waiting, he was creating a situation by which God would be glorified even more. Now look what happens in verses 7 through 10. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Jesus decided to return to Judea after a delay of a couple days because that ensured that Lazarus had died, that he was buried, and that no one would think that Lazarus had simply gone into a coma. That was important. Jesus wanted to make sure that Lazarus was dead, and that everyone knew that he was in fact dead. Then the disciples remembered, now why is it we came over here in the first place? It was to get away from Jerusalem and its proximity, you know, things around there like Bethany, because the Jewish leaders were trying to kill our master and teacher. That's why we're over here. And so they couldn't figure out why he wanted to go back there. Jesus did not leave the majesty of heaven, brethren, to vacation on the east side of the Jordan River. Do you know of anyone who goes to the east side of the Jordan River to vacation? I mean, maybe there is, but I'll tell you what. If I'm in heaven, and somebody up there says, hey, would you like to go back down to the earth and vacation on the east side of the Jordan? I'd say, no way. I like it here. You're not going to get me to go back down there. So, what's going on? Jesus left heaven to work on the earth. And that's what he was trying to get across to his disciples. It's time for me to work. There's a time to rest, and there is a time to work. And during those 12 hours of daylight, Jesus wanted to work. He could see what he did. And working at night, he couldn't see. And these things, he says, hold true in the Spirit. Walk in the light while you have the light. If you walk in the light, you will not stumble. But if you walk in the night, you will stumble, because you don't have the light of the Word of God within you. Now watch what happens in 11 through 15. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Well, what work now was so urgent that Jesus would leave the place where he was, teaching and preaching and perhaps doing some resting, that he wanted to go back to Judea right away? Well, he said his friend Lazarus slept. And it was time for him to wake up. And Jesus would be the one to go wake him up, because only Jesus could wake his friend up. The disciples knew of the sickness of Lazarus, and they knew about the omniscience, the all-knowing nature of their teacher. However, they did not pick up on the fact that Jesus had to be the one to wake up Lazarus. For then they would have figured out that he was talking about something other than literal sleep. Hearing Jesus say that Lazarus slept, the disciples, you know, naturally told him, well, you know, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. You know, when you're sick, how you need to sleep a lot. And that's what they're thinking. Okay, he's sick and he's sleeping. You know, he needs that, Lord. When he gets better, he'll wake up. And I'm sure they also were questioning, why go to Judea to wake someone up who's just sleeping from sickness when the people there are trying to kill you? It doesn't make sense. Can't someone else wake him up or take care of him? But then, in verse 13, John let us in on a secret. Secret number one, when Jesus said that Lazarus slept, Jesus meant that Lazarus had died. Because when a person dies, they look as though they're sleeping. And Lazarus would be awake again and go about his business. So he called it sleep. Secret number two, John and his fellow disciples thought Jesus spoke literally. And they had not yet learned that Jesus used constantly the things of this world to illustrate various truths, especially spiritual truths. For example, in John chapter 1, of course the example I'm going to give you is not of Jesus himself, but he fully approved of it. But John the Baptizer referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God, comparing Jesus to an animal. John chapter 2, Jesus told a man, Nicodemus, that unless he was born again, he could not enter the kingdom of heaven. Or actually, that was John chapter 3. In John chapter 2, he compared his body to a temple. In John chapter 4, he told the woman of Samaria that he had water for her soul. Of course, she didn't get the connection at first. Later in John chapter 4, he told his disciples that doing the will of God for him was like eating. It was like eating meat. John chapter 6, Jesus compared himself to bread. John chapter 7, he again used water, this time to symbolize the Holy Spirit. He told the Pharisees in chapter 8 that he's the light of the world. And in chapter 9, after healing a blind man, he spoke of understanding as being sight. And then last week in John chapter 10, we heard him say that he was the good shepherd. So now he talks about sleep, and they don't get the idea that he's talking about death. To the disciples, or to help them understand, Jesus just came right out and said, Lazarus is dead. Then in verse 15, Jesus made an amazing statement about a friend that he loved. Jesus was glad that he was not present during the fatal illness and then eventual death of the friend he loved. Interesting. How could a friend say that? How could Jesus say he was glad when his friend was sick, or that he was glad that he wasn't there when his friend was sick and then his friend died? Normally we'd be heartbroken if I can't be there with my friend. Well, Jesus had something greater to do. And when he did it, then his disciples would grow in belief. And that was far more important to Jesus than being there with his friend when he was sick. But look at Thomas, verse 16. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." But to me, it seems like Peter should have been the one saying that, doesn't it not? I mean, Peter said stuff like that all the time. But good old Thomas, he believed this was the end for Jesus. Now remember, the disciples, that would include Thomas, knew that the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus. And so if Jesus went back to the area, Thomas knew that his best friend, Jesus, would be arrested and killed. Nevertheless, with all the loyalty and sincerity in his heart, Thomas took the lead among the disciples and encouraged them that let's go of Jesus that we may die with him. Well, you know, that was pretty courageous. I mean, he knew. At least if you look at it from his standpoint, he knew what was going to happen. They're going to kill him and we're going to be right there next to him and we're going to be killed too. Thomas didn't know what was going on, but if called upon to die, he would not resist. Let's see further what happened, verses 17 through 20. So when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still sitting in the house. So they headed for Judea, specifically Bethany, right next to Jerusalem. And as they walked and talked, the disciples believed this is the last day of Jesus. And so they believed in the same way that it was their last day. What gallant men! If only their heroism could continue. But someone has said, and if I knew who that someone was, I'd definitely give him or her credit. Oh, consistency, thou art a jewel. I had a sister one time tell me, and I can't remember the exact context. Maybe it was a situation where I was tempted to be cowardly, and then she told me Proverbs 24:10. And I can still remember her. I can still see her face telling me the words of Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Well, the day of adversity, Thomas believed, had arrived. And he was ready for it. Good for him. Too bad it wouldn't be there later. Jesus and his disciples finally arrived in Bethany, but he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. And Jesus, when he got there, also found weeping, mourning, and disappointment that he had not been there. Many people were there, John said, because Bethany was close to Jerusalem, and many came to mourn because of the passing of a good man. The people were also there to comfort the sisters, Martha and Mary. And the people loved Lazarus and they loved his sisters. You know, we need people like them in the world, do we not? Don't we need more men like Lazarus? We've had men like that die and it breaks our heart. We don't need fewer of them in the world. We need more. I wish that every time a good man or woman died, that God would give us two more at least to replace them, because we need more of them in this world filled with billions of people who don't even know God. So when one dies, man, we're brokenhearted. It hurts. And we see the hurt of the family. And that's all these people were doing. But then, Martha heard that the Creator just came walking into town. And that this Creator had a special friendship and love for your brother. Now, what would you do? Here you are in the house mourning with everybody, and everybody's crying and weeping and hugging each other, and there's tears all over the place, and the Creator just came walking into town. He's answered your message. What would you do? Man, I wouldn't sit in that house. I'd be out of there. Where is he? I'd be probably frantic. Settle down, Don. You know, he's that way. Go over there. And I have no doubt that Martha was probably a lot like that. So she left him quickly, or the family and so on, to meet him. But Mary, it seems, didn't know that he had arrived, and she stayed in the house. Now watch the interchange that takes place between Jesus and Martha, starting at verse 21. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Do you hear her desperation? Look at the faith and perhaps mild rebuke of Martha toward Jesus. She knew that if he had been there, Lazarus would still be alive. Because Jesus, she knows, could have healed her brother. Where then had he been? Why didn't he come right away? Yet she did not lose hope, knowing that whatever, and she meant literally whatever, Jesus asked of God, God would give it. As far as I know, there's only one time in the earthly life of Jesus that he made a request to the Father and the Father said no. But every other time that he asked for it, the Father did it. She didn't state her request. Did you notice that? She just said, now, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died, but now I know that whatever you ask of God, he'll give it. Well, give what, Martha? She didn't say it. Perhaps she couldn't say it. Perhaps she didn't want to say it. She didn't want to get her hopes up. But she kind of dangles it out there. I know the faith you have, and I know the love that the Father has for you, Jesus. So I know whatever you ask, kind of like, you know what I want. I know he'll do it for you. I wonder at this point if the butterflies were flying in her stomach. What's he going to do? Does he know what I want? Does he know what my heart feels right now? Well, Jesus assured her that her brother would rise again. Because, after all, Lazarus was just sleeping. Well, Martha quickly expressed her full acceptance in the teachings of Christ and the Scriptures and confessed that she knew he would rise, that there would be a resurrection the last day, and that Lazarus would be included in that. Yeah, sure, I know that, Lord. I wonder, was she testing the Lord? To see what he was going to do that day? Well, to show that a resurrection would happen before the last day one, he affirmed that he was the resurrection and the life, because when you're in Jesus and Jesus is in you, your spirit is renewed and you live as never before. Therefore, he can make us live forever. I may die in the body, but I can still live. However, we have to live and believe in Jesus. Did Martha believe that? Do you believe that, Martha? Do you and I here today believe that? Martha showed her belief, urgently confessing that she believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and that he was the very one who was to come into the world. She just opened up her heart and spilled out her belief, and the Lord saw it. She believed in Jesus, and she lived in him. Watch what happened next. Oh, no, wait a minute. This is the end for today. And you know what? Normally, as I've been doing on John, I would preach on it tonight, but you got to wait till next week. Because tonight, I want to speak about dinosaurs, man, Peru, and prayer. What have those got to do with each other? Well, be here for that. And you got to be here next Lord's Day as well so we can look at the rest of John 11 together. Do you believe Jesus is your resurrection and life? Do you believe that without him you have no hope and you have no life either now or later? Why not do what Martha did? Tell us what you believe. Tell us that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And if you do that, we will baptize you right now. If you're ready, come forward as we stand and sing.